He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, awesome. Such great news. Literally the best news ever. If you weren't here Friday, I was very pleased with the way the service ended up. Valerie and Jody led us in some very heartfelt worship, and it was dark in here. We really wanted to create a solemn, somber attitude in remembrance of the fateful day that was Good Friday. Jesus died. And when he died, and when he did, although it was the middle of the day, the sky turned black, and the universe mourned the passing of our eternal King. We left Friday night considering the cost of Good Friday. But although it was Friday, Sunday's coming. And I promised you that as you left Friday night to get ready, because Sunday is coming. And today, we party. Honestly, is there anything else that we should get more excited about? Yes, the sun turned dark while the sun was placed in his borrowed tomb. But Sunday came and Jesus was gone. The whole thing was God's plan after all. Why do you look among the dead for the living? He is risen. The whole thing was God's plan. Genesis 3:15, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Genesis, very first few pages of the Bible, God is already talking about Jesus. He's already laying out the plan. Satan thought he won. He did. But that strike that landed on the Messiah's heel brought his foot down and crushed his head. Isaiah had this to say about Jesus in chapter 53. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to a slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. And I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death and he was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels. We should feel bad that it was our sin that put him there. Don't get me wrong. Know that, though, it was God's plan. He had it from the very first pages of the Bible. As soon as Adam and Eve ate that fruit, it was all set. Jesus was the answer to our sin problem. And as we read the Bible today, we can see whispers of what was going to happen. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 encourages us to let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It was God's plan all along. God knew that to save his people, to save his creation, that Jesus had to come and he had to die in our place. That's what Easter's all about. So yes, today is Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And today, we party. Last night, a professor whom I respect very, very much from Lincoln, Bible college I went to, he passed away. He had a long battle with cancer. His name was Dr. Kirka. And last night he died. But today, it's his Resurrection Sunday. And he gets to see Jesus face to face. How proud he must feel. How wonderful it must feel to walk into glory and to see Jesus. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the message of hope. Father, as we get going here this morning, we just pray that you would be with us and you would just touch the people in this room that need to hear the good news, that you love them so much that you died for them. We love you, and we ask that we might lift you high today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today we are starting a new series called One. If you are not a regular at church anywhere, we would love to have you back the next few weeks as we dive into the series. The whole series is going to focus on that Jesus is our one need. Each week for the next 5 weeks, we will examine a different characteristic of Jesus that we need and that he offers. Today, we're going to look at the most obvious quality, the most important of all. Today, we are going to look at his love. Jesus told us that all of God's commands can be broken down into two things: love God and love people. It's really that simple. You look at Matthew 22, 37, and Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments. So I'm not trying to be tricky today. I'm not trying to fool you. I'm really not. I want to be as plain as I can be. Jesus said, when we boil it all down, here is the heart of the matter. If you really want to follow me, if you really want to live the life I'm offering, you love God and you love other people. So the first thing is that we love God. John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And I know when you hear me say John 3:16, you're probably picturing this guy. There's no pictures? I failed on that one. Okay, so it's a guy holding a sign at a football game, right? You guys have all seen that. He's standing in the crowd and the field goal goes up and he's got the sign proudly displaying John 3:16. Or the guy that is wearing the crazy multicolored wig and he's got the John 3:16 shirt on and he's like, I don't know if that guy's crazy or what. Or maybe Tim Tebow. You guys remember him? He had the John 3:16 and the eye black. This is the most famous scripture ever, and why not? It really cuts to the heart of it, does it not? God loved you and me so much that he gave his one and only son to be our ransom. And that everyone that believes in him, that calls on him, that submits their lives to him, that loves him, will receive the free gift of eternal life. So how do we love him? Well, Jesus actually tells us later in John. There's more to the book of John than just John 3:16, come to find out. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Say it again. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Can you do that? Can you love God? Can you love a God that loves you so much that he sacrificed his own son for you? Can you obey him? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that can you love the fatherless? Can you love the widows? Can you love those that are less fortunate than you? Because those are the commands that he wants us to follow. Can we think of ourselves as last and put others first? Can we say no to what our desires are and to say yes to what God says is best for us? The one that knitted us together while we were still in our mother's womb? That is what Jesus is saying. If we want to show him that we love him, then do what our Father is asking us to do. My daughter Evelyn, she's 3 now, going on 47. She loves our phones. She cannot get enough of our phones. Can I do Bible? Can I look at pictures? Can I blah, 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 blah? Can I watch videos? And we kept it. We'll have to say to her, Evelyn, give me the phone. 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 Give me. You know, you do that thing, and she's running around. You know, you're like, what is happening? She's getting better at this, though. And sometimes she'll do it very pronouncedly because she wants us to know what she's thinking. Sometimes she will quickly. We'll say, give me the phone. She'll just hand it, like, throw it at us. Give it to us real quick. And do you know why she does that? Because she is trying to show us that she respects us in her little way. That she loves us and that she wants to make us happy. Even though she may not understand why she can't have the phone. Do I have that same reaction to my Heavenly Father? Everybody's on the road. I don't know where you are in your journey. And some of us are further along than others, and that's okay. We're all on this road. And some of us are trying to point people to say, this is the way. This is the way. Come with me. Let me help you find your way back to God. It's His road, after all. Everyone is on a road. I don't know where yours is. I don't know where you are in your road. But God wants us to be like Evelyn and to just trust and love Him. The second thing is that we love others. 1 John 4:7-12, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us." Or John 13:35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are My disciples." Or 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith." Can I just say, this is where we are? That when we're okay, and the world is okay with loving God, but it's the loving other people thing that's hard. And this is where we as a church, we lose it. We lose our reputability. We lose our trustworthiness. We lose it because sometimes, in the name of Jesus, we can be real jerks. There may be some of you sitting in this room today thinking, "Yup, that's the problem. It's not the Jesus thing. I'm cool with that. It's these other Christians around me." And if that's you, if somebody has hurt you in the name of Jesus, and you, this is what has been holding you back, can I just tell you, I'm sorry? I'm really sorry. I am truly, totally sorry for the way that the church has hurt you. Debbie Holloway wrote a devotional article, and this part really struck me. She said that if we Christians were to be really serious about loving people, well, they would know us by our patience. They would know that we are Christians by our contentment, by our modesty, and our humility. They would recognize us, for we would not be rude. We would seek the best for others. We would be make it difficult to make angry and refuse to keep count of how many times we've been hurt. They would know us because evil makes us sad and truth makes us happy. They would know us because we protect the defenseless and we do not live in suspicion of others. They would know us by our hope. They would know us by our perseverance, and that is what love looks like. Those should be the marks of Christ's disciples. Oftentimes, when the world hears Christian, they do not think of this love. They think patriotic, or they think of rules, or they think of stingy, bad tippers who blindly vote Republican and will judge you if you drink beer or use four-letter words. And that might not be fair. That might not be you, but it's still your responsibility to change what the world thinks of Christians. It's still your responsibility to demonstrate that radical love Paul described to the Corinthians. Because then, one by one, people might start to know Jesus a little better. Because then, one by one, we could really reach the world with this radical, biblical, Christ-like love. It's all about loving other people. Loving your neighbor. Loving those sitting next to you. Those in the house beside you. Love God. Love other people. Oh, and there is one more thing that we have to remember. It's because He loved us first. The Bible is very clear on something. There is no way to God on our own strength. There is no way to love God on our own power. There is no way that we love others on our own merit. The only reason we can love God and love others is because He loved us first. Because He loved us first, we have Romans 8:11, which says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." It is by no other way. The Spirit of God lives in us, all because of Easter. All because of today. Let's not be mistaken. It is all because of the amazing love that God showed when He sent Jesus to the cross and He raised Him from the dead 3 days later. That same power can live in you. And it can live in me. Psalm 49:7-9 says, "Yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave." Let me summarize that for you. You could work 100 lifetimes and still never earn enough ransom for your soul. 1 Peter 2:24, "He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed." Can we love God? Absolutely. Can we love others? Most definitely. But the only reason we know how to love is because of the unbelievable love that He has already shown us. How can we know how to love if no one has ever loved us? God has shown us over and over and over again how much He loves us. And we love because of what He has shared with us. 1 John 4:16-19, "God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first." Because He loved us first, we can love Him. Because He first loved us, we can love each other. Do you know that love this morning? That's what Easter's all about. For God, this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you. He loves you so much that His one Son, the one Son that He had, He gave as a sacrifice so that you might have freedom. So that you might be with Him forever. Do you know that peace this morning? Do you know the message of Easter this morning? It's simple. God loved us so much, He sent Jesus. I hope that we love Jesus. And I hope that we can love other people. This morning we want to offer an invitation. Baptistry is super warm because I plugged it in at like 5:30 this morning. If you need to get right with Jesus today, if you need to say, you know what, no more messing around. I need to say it's me and Jesus. Then we would love to talk to you. We would love to, if you're ready, we'd love to baptize you. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you just need some more prayer. If that's the case, we invite you to come down and we'll pray with you and we'll help you back to get where you need to go. But don't let today go by. Don't let another Easter go by where you don't accept the free gift of Jesus in your life. He loves you. What more could He give? God, we love You and we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the cross. But the cross is nothing if it wasn't for the empty tomb. We thank You for the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. And that that power is available to us. Father, raise us up from the dead, our dead selves. In the name of Jesus we pray.